From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation or around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, David Wilcock joins us on 2012 and Consciousness and the Hidden Science of Lost Civilizations. Before we get things started here, congratulations to my son Jonathan and his wife Kristen, proud parents of little Charlotte born today. A little tiny bowling ball, 8 pounds. Little cutie. Here's what's happening. Libyan rebels are battling troops loyal to Colonel Muammar Gaddafi for control of Tripoli after launching an assault on the capital from several directions. Rebel commanders say they have taken control of about 80% of the capital, including the headquarters of state television. But fighting is still raging in parts of the city, and the rebels have not managed to find the Libyan leader. They can't find him. He could be in hiding. Here's Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg, where is he?
Well, according to his son, Saif al-Islam, he told a bunch of journalists at a hotel. Incidentally, he was supposedly captured, but not. He ends up in this hotel giving a press conference. He says, hey, his father is still in Tripoli, and they're going to break the back of the rebels. Now, this is the most bizarre rebel campaign in history. I don't know if you remember this, but back in March, these rebels, one of the first things they did was start a central bank. Yes, the CNBC story was reported on CNBC. It was also reported on Bloomberg. They started a central bank. You know, of course, a lot of people said, wow, that's awful bizarre for rebels to start a central bank, which shows that foreigners have a hand in this uprising. On top of that, I wrote a story about what was going on in Libya, in that it's been widely reported that al-Qaeda is heading up a lot of these rebels. So with these 20,000 sorties and bombing missions flown by NATO, is NATO installing or trying to install an al-Qaeda-led government in Libya?
It's very confusing. And, people can't find Gaddafi. They can't. The sons apparently were arrested, but now they're not. It's weird.
Well, the other thing is that this is way far from being over. This whole country could break down into chaos. There's also another big question about 143.8 tons of gold. Now, you think that the U.K., that's a lot of gold because the U.K. has 310 tons of gold. Where's the gold? Some people say it's already been taken out of the country. Other people say it's not. There's a central bank that was started in Benghazi. This has been the most bizarre rebel uprising in history, and it is far from over, and it could devolve into some real chaos because Gaddafi, who says he's still not giving up, and his son says he's still in Tripoli, is still on the loose. So this could be a real problem for the rebel forces, which apparently are very friendly to al-Qaeda, if not al-Qaeda.
This is a very strange story. My prediction, if Libya falls, Syria will be next. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Jerry Lieber, who partnered with Mike Stoller to write such hits as Elvis Presley's Hound Dog and Jailhouse Rock, has died at the age of 78. Lieber died at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles of cardiopulmonary failure. 80-year-old Bud Hopkins, a central figure in extraterrestrial abduction phenomenon and related UFO research, has died of liver cancer and pneumonia. He was also a painter and sculptor. Born in 1931 and raised in Wheeling, West Virginia, he graduated from Oberlin College in 1953. That same year, moving to New York City, where he lived until his death in 2011. A few years ago, I had the privilege of talking to Bud Hopkins.
Have things changed, Bud, in your field?
Well, I think they have. First of all, the work that I've been doing, and Dave Jacobs and others, looking into cases of so-called hybrid beings, transgenic beings, who seem to be able to live and operate in the world, on a daily basis, there's been more evidence accumulating that that is in fact going on, that this is sort of a transitional point in something. We're not sure exactly what this is going to lead to. But that's, I would say, the area of greatest interest right now. But also, I've been looking into continuing this, looking into cases where there've been there's medical evidence, medical injury, actually, of abduction cases, which is it's quite rare, but it's very disturbing when it happens.
Bud Hopkins will be fondly remembered by many in the field of ufology and will forever, ever be remembered from this program indeed. In a moment, a special tribute to the late Bud Hopkins. The first Atlantic hurricane of 2011, gathering strength as it stormed through the Caribbean, menacing the Dominican Republic and fragile Haiti as well, after causing widespread flooding, landslides, and power outages in Puerto Rico. Projections call for Hurricane Irene to possibly become at least a Category 3 hurricane as it approaches the southeast United States by the weekend. Stan Dale, watching this situation for us. Well, it's the first one. Here we go, Stan.
Yes, and the pundits are saying that we're going to get about 16 to 17 named storms, and about eight to nine of them will be severe storms. This one here is a little bit of a crapshoot because they're not sure whether it's going to move to the east, to the west or to the east of where it's currently tracking. Most of them are saying it's going to miss South Carolina and hit landfall, if it does at all, in North Carolina now, and that by Saturday midday it could be about a Category 4, reaching about 135-mile-an-hour winds. Certainly it may bring some rain to Southern Carolina and Northern Carolina both. Certainly the drought would appreciate that. The drought-stricken area.
Sure. And Stan, we've only got about 3 months left to the hurricane season, so that means if their projections are correct, we're going to get a lot of storms soon.
Yeah. Look, this one here is the beginning of the current season for sure. And with the extremes in the weather we've been seeing, like the extreme drought and the flooding, I think it's going to get worse over the next few years anyway. And this may be the start of the extremes in the weather that we've been looking for a long time. Even though Irene may not make landfall, it's still going to be significant as far as canceling events along the coast there, I'm pretty sure, because of rain and the attendant winds that will be to the west of the storm front, wherever it is.
All right. Well, here we go. Do visit Stan's website, StanDeyo.com. In the news at CoastToCoastAM.com, a Chinese farmer has successfully completed a maiden flight in his homemade flying saucer. He got it up there about 6 feet. He taught himself mechanics and electronics. He built this thing with 8 engines attached to propellers, and now he wants to take them to schools so children will be interested in similar projects. Up next, we begin our special tribute to the late Bud Hopkins. David Jacobs joins us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. This hour, special tribute to the life of the late Bud Hopkins. David Jacobs, Dr. David Jacobs, of course, Associate Professor of History at Temple University. He is at the forefront of UFO abduction research. Several of his books, UFOs and Abductions, and also The Threat. Here he is on Coast to Coast. David, thank you for joining us on this very special moment.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
He was quite a guy, wasn't he?
Well, he was my closest and dearest friend, and I thought the world of him ever since we met in 1982, and so he was, yes.
You know, when I talked to him a couple of years ago, he seemed pretty strong, and then he started fading. But I guess he went peacefully. He was not in pain when this happened. But he surely will be missed, not only as a person, a human being, but for the incredible work that he did into the abduction phenomena.
Well, he really opened up the phenomenon to us all through his first book, Missing Time, which was the first book about abductions that was very carefully done and which had 7 different abductees in it. So it was a comparative study. And he showed that there were patterns, that people were having the same types of experiences that was happening to men, women, and younger. And it was something that wasn't just a single onset kind of event. And with the publication of A Missing Time in 1981, it was like sort of opening a window. We finally could get a peek into what was happening. And other people had tried. There were many other researchers before Bud, but the subject is extremely difficult to do, and everybody made a little bit of headway, but it was Bud who really broke through.
He was a painter. He was a sculptor, yet he was a giant in the field of ufology. How did he get interested in that, David?
Well, he had a sighting in Cape Cod back in the mid-60s, which sort of piqued his interest. But there was a guy named George Obarski who had a sort of major event happen to him that he had heard about. George was actually owned a liquor store almost directly across the street from where he lived in New York City. And George told him about it, and as it turned out, it was extremely interesting. It involved seeing occupants, as they used to say back in 1975, and there was marks on the ground, and there was structural damage that a UFO did to a building that Obarski saw it at. And so he got into the case, into that case, and eventually he wrote an article on it for the Village Voice. And then he began to get all sorts of letters from people around the country, it seemed, talking about their experiences with UFOs, but primarily their experiences with having these missing time sequences and all these other sort of abduction stories that he was just overwhelmed by in the beginning. And that ultimately led, of course, to the book Missing Time.
David, a few years ago, we lost Dr. John Mack in a very tragic episode as well. The field seems to be losing some very good, dedicated people. Are new ones coming along at all?
Well, this is a very, very difficult problem. Bud was a person who got people interested in the subject. He single-handedly got John Mack interested in it. He single-handedly got Dave Jacobs interested in it, and others as well. He had a certain charm about him and a very sort of strong mind, and when he told you about the subject, it wasn't something crazy, as I sort of thought it was beforehand. It had a legitimacy that he could bring to it that was intriguing and sort of amazing, and that's how John Mack got interested in it, and I got interested in it. So the question is, are there any younger people coming around? And the answer is, there aren't a whole lot.
I must say
there's Jed Turnbull in New York, and of course there's still Yvonne Smith in California, in San Diego area. But there aren't a whole lot of other kind of serious abduction researchers, and so losing Bud is like losing a large chunk of the community.
Yeah.
I just wish there were others. The problem is that when you say young and abduction researcher, it's almost an oxymoron. It's you can't be young and delve into the private lives of people who are 40 and 50 years old and their experiences that might have, you know, reproductive aspects to it.
Sure.
And here you are 20 years old.
Yeah, they just don't open up to you. They won't.
Right.
They won't. David, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure under these very sad circumstances.
Dr. David Jacobs, regular guest on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, a tribute would not be the same without the father of modern-day ufology, Stanton Friedman. Stanton, thank you, sir. I know it's very early for you out there on the East.
Yes, it is.
But good to have you with us. How well did you know Bud Hopkins, Stan?
Well, for over 30 years, and I've stayed at his home in New York. And it turned out, I didn't find out until years later, that he had heard me speak at Barnard College in the 70s. And, you know, we're the physicist and the artist, you might say, but the thing about Bud was that he had courage in a way. You know, to be a modern artist, okay, there are plenty of artists in New York, but to talk publicly about UFO abductions, that's another story. Also, he was sort of the next step after Dr. Benjamin Simon and the Betty and Barney Hill case.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I mean, that happened in 61, and it was the first case that got serious attention. And Dr. Simon didn't know anything about flying saucers, but he knew a great deal about helping people through traumatic experiences of shell shock war veterans, all that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, the 50th anniversary, interesting timing here, of the Betty and Barney Hill case will be celebrated in Indian Head, New Hampshire, on the 23rd and 24th of September, with a celebration right near where that abduction took place. So that was a whole other ball game from what Bud was doing, because Bud initially didn't do his own hypnosis. He worked with Dr. Aphrodite Claymore and some other people, and then finally he got in the act himself. And Dr. Simon's long suit was shell shock war veterans from World War II. He ran a hospital that had 3,000 beds for those people. And Army made a film, Let There Be Light, starring Dr. Simon. But there really was nobody picking up I was going to say cudgel, but that's not really what I mean, the path after Dr. Simon, and he didn't do any other UFO experience.
Right. Yeah, he did that one major case. That was it for him, wasn't
yeah.
it?
And yeah. So Bud's willingness to talk to lots of different people and to respond, David hit upon a very important point. Many people who have UFO experiences, abductions or not, have no idea, who can I talk to? Who can I trust? That article in the Village Voice put Bud's name out there and made him a target, if you will, in a nice way, for people who say, geez, I got to talk to somebody. Where am I going to find anybody? And Bud became that person. And without that kind of publicity, you've got two opposing forces here. People want privacy, and yet other people want to know where to go, you know, who to talk to.
Yeah, and what's so frustrating, Stan, is these people, the Bud Hopkins, the John Macks, you know, they try desperately to get these answers that we're all looking for. We don't have these answers yet, and we can ill afford to lose people like this.
Well, that's right, and at least in the Hill case, we had a lot of sessions. We had the star map, which gives you some information you can check. With most abduction cases, you don't have a lot of that kind of stuff that you can go back and say, aha, look what we found.
Exactly.
So Bud's courage and his willingness to talk to other people, he didn't hide what he was doing. You could learn from him. He shared his information. So, you know, a powerful voice in the field. He was 80 when he passed. Which makes me feel very self-conscious. I got three more years to go.
Yeah, you're coming up there, my friend. Stan, I want to thank you for being part of
my special
tribute to the late Bud Hopkins, Stanton Friedman. And, of course, Yvonne Smith began researching the UFO phenomenon in the late 1980s. She received her hypnotherapy certification in 1990, specializing in cases of post-traumatic stress disorder. And here she is on Coast to Coast. Yvonne, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much, George, for having me on and doing this show in honor of Bud.
You know, I remember talking to him in my local St. Louis days, Yvonne, and I was just mesmerized by the things he would say and the compassion that he would say it. I mean, he took his job seriously. He never made fun of these people who, some of them, of course, had been to him, and they were obviously under some kind of stress. They might not have been abducted, but Bud Hopkins was always the gentleman with him, and I'll always remember that about him.
Absolutely. He always, as I was working with him, and I will always be grateful to him for mentoring me, taking me under his wing, and showing me the compassion towards these experiencers that he worked with. He is the one that put a face to the abduction phenomenon. He per se brought it out of the closet.
That's right.
And allowed these people who are experiencing these strange experiences peace of mind to those who are haunted with these missing hours. David mentioned his book Missing Time. He coined that phrase. He brought it to the forefront. Giving people peace of mind also that are suffering from strange dreams. And Stan just mentioned, you know, people don't know who to go to. I just did a very long session with a client today who was very familiar with Bud's work, of course, and was grateful. He said he was grateful that he was able to talk to me and come to me with his strange experiences and stories.
Well, that's exactly the way it's been going on, too. He will leave a void in there in the field of alien abduction research, to be sure. Yvonne Smith, thank you so much. We'll be back with more as we continue with our special tribute to the late Bud Hopkins. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, David Wilcock joins us as we talk about his latest work, The Source Field Investigations, The Hidden Science and Lost Civilizations Behind the 2012 Prophecies. In a moment, we will be back with more on our special tribute to the late Bud Hopkins on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're talking about the life of the late Bud Hopkins. He died this weekend at the age of 80 years old, but of course, well-known in the field of alien abduction research. He left also many friends, Leslie Kane, who was just on the program with me, Ruben Urdiate, and Whitley Strieber, our very own Whitley Strieber, author of many books, including the latest, The Key, respected him greatly. They didn't see eye to eye on everything, but they understood each other. Whitley, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, having the very, very old Whitley Strieber. And there were three of us.
Yeah.
There was Bud Hopkins, there was John Mack, and there was me. And now there's only one of us. What Bud did that was so extraordinary was he discovered something new, and that is amazing. Very, very hard to do, to actually discover the new. And what Bud discovered was missing time.
Yeah.
Prior to Bud Hopkins, there were the idea of close encounters was there. But Bud discovered the truth that people could have these experiences and come away with fragmentary memories or very little memory. And that was new. That was the extraordinary thing he did. And I can remember when I first came to Bud with my own experience, with my own close encounter experience, I was really confused. I had no idea.
And did you go to him, Whitley, as a prospective patient almost, or as Whitley Strieber, the author who just wanted to know more about Bud Hopkins?
No, I wasn't interested at all in knowing more about Bud Hopkins. I wanted to know what the heck happened to me. I had my brother had been in a bookstore before Christmas and had found a book about alien abduction and decided to buy it for me for Christmas for some reason that neither of us have ever been able to discover. He took it up to the cashier to purchase it, and it was denominated in British pounds, and they had no record of it in the store. They didn't even know how it had gotten there.
Weird.
But they sold it to him, and I think $5 or $10 or something. And he took it out and he sent it to me. And I opened it at Christmas and I thought, oh boy, another lunatic gift from my brother. And I put it aside. And after Christmas, after this had happened to me, I happened to read it. I opened it kind of at random and read this story about an alien abduction that sounded very oddly like what I was dealing with at the time. And I had no notion that what had happened to me was in any way connected with any kind of alien thing. I didn't even know what that was. And I met Bud. He was mentioned in the book. And he was a very, very kind, supportive man, because I had been raped, and I knew that. My doctor had told me that.
Yeah, you were tormented.
Oh, but I wouldn't talk about it. I wouldn't say it. It took me 20 years to say that. But the thing about Bud was, Bud knew darn well what had happened. He knew, because he had all of this knowledge and all of this information. And the guy, I mean, I was telling him I thought I'd been the victim of a crime, and it's on and on. And he introduced me to a forensic psychiatrist, Dr. Donald Klein. And that was how the thing began to come into focus. This was a pioneer, George, a true pioneer, a man who found something that was hidden in our world and, oh, so skillfully hidden.
He will never be replaced with
him. No. He's irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Irreplaceable. And there was a time when this was happening. It's still happening. We get, on Unknown Country, we get stories about it literally from people every day, it happening to them. But not like it was happening back in the 70s and 80s, when there was someone penetrating the human species.
He will... He has taken it to the grave, that one individual, that one name I always wanted to find out. Remember that United Nations, and I think it might have been the Secretary General at the time, that apparently had seen an extraterrestrial craft in New York. And Bud wrote the book about that.
Bud actually confronted Perez de Caer in the UN and asked him about this.
If it was him?
And Bud... And Perez de Caer would not say a thing. Ultimately, the cowardice of the mighty became the definition, one of the great definitions of the whole experience. They will not say what they know.
Whitley, to a person coming into this field of ufology, not knowing now who Bud Hopkins was, what would you tell them about this man?
Find out who Bud Hopkins is or don't come. That's what I would tell them. No, Bud Hopkins was a defining person in this field. He was immensely important. And he will be followed. I mean, eventually we will come to a definitive understanding of this, and people are going to look back and say, well, you know, there was a great man there. He lived, he worked, he tried. He was an artist, not a psychiatrist, not a professional of any kind.
He was
just a curious man. And he took this and he made something of it.
He sure did. Whitley, thank you so much. Whitley Strieber, of course, noted author, website unknowncountry.com. Bud Hopkins indeed will be missed because he is irreplaceable. Dr. Roger Lear, of course, an expert in the alien abduction cases and surgeries of implants, he's with us right now on Coast to Coast. Roger?
Yeah, hi, George.
Good to have you with us on this moment.
Yes, it's one of those unfortunate times that I'm speechless and emotional, and I'm almost out of words. Bud was indeed not only a colleague, but a very good friend. And he worked together with me on some of the cases, George. Some we've mentioned and some we haven't mentioned, but he. I want to say this. Although Bud, did what he did and deserves the greatest respect, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that he was very responsible for educating individuals in the abduction field on how to do hypnotic regressions so that they were done properly.
He was like a teacher, wasn't he?
Yes. The man was, a wonderful artist. Many times he showed me the artistic designs that he had done, and He was a functionary in the art world as well, but he was also a teacher, and he was a great teacher. Yvonne Smith was involved with Bud. Mm-hmm. And I know at one time Bud talked about producing a textbook that could have been used by others, hypnotherapists, in psychology and other ones that were in the field, so they could become qualified.
Well, he took the field darn seriously, Roger, and I think that was so important. You know, those of us who want to just get answers, here was one individual who was out there all the time trying to get those answers.
Yes. I met my friend Dr. Schwartz, the holistic physician, and was getting chelation. I was reading, at that time, one of Bud's latest books, sitting there in the chair for 3 hours getting a chelation treatment. And Dr. Schwartz came in and said, "What are you reading?" I said, "Well, I'm reading a book on a very strange subject." And he said, "Well, what's the subject?" And I said, "It's alien abduction." And he didn't laugh. He said, "Who's the author?" And I said, "The author is Bud Hopkins." And he said, "Oh, yes, I've heard of him." And that went on to a long relationship. So you might say that Bud, in many ways, was responsible for a lot of things that were peripheral also to alien abduction. And he studied, some of the cases that really didn't go down in the literature. And Bud kept tremendous notes. There was a lot of details of things that certain people were privy to that he held back. He didn't give out to the public, and he didn't print them in books because he guarded these things so that when regressions were done, he could use them, and he could use them to kind of trick the individual and lead them in wrong directions that he was working
on. On purpose,
yep. Exactly.
What did he share with you, Roger, behind closed doors? Did he say anything about the field that he loved and cherished so much?
Well, Bud suffered greatly after the loss of Dr. John Mack.
Yeah.
And Bud had always been, from the beginning, very kind to me because he was a good friend of my cousin, Dr. Kenneth Ring, who, wrote the Omega Project and was a psychologist at the University of Connecticut. But so that was kind of my introduction to Bud. But he shared with me a number of different things. And I heard Willie talking about the Linda Cortelli case.
Mm-hmm.
And although he did not, mention the particular name. But, he talked about the event and the individuals that were involved from the United Nations and the tremendous amount of weakness that those people showed in, giving information out. But Bud was, he was a private sort of individual also. And like I said, after John Mack died, Bud was like a little bit lost. He was like a little kid.
Well, it was like a hole in his side, wasn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Gone.
There was something missing out of his life. And at that point, he, I think, became closer to Dr. David Jacobs. And then because he began sharing his views on, the production of hybrid beings.
Well, and who is at the forefront anymore in the alien abduction phenomena? Just Dr. Jacobs? Who else is out there now?
We have Dr. Jacobs. I don't know whether John Carpenter is doing anything or not.
He stopped a long time ago. He may have started to pick it back up again. He, of course, was the social worker out of Missouri. I knew John well, but he stopped. Something happened to him. He just...
Right. And then we had Leo Sprinkle.
Now he's gone.
My dear friend who was trained by Bud Hopkins of Yvonne Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, so we've got her. She was just on. But, I mean, in terms of those people with the credibility that went way, way back, I think we just have David Jacobs. That's it.
That's it. Certainly in this country. You know, there's a few people in Brazil that Bud knew that, took the field up and did it quite seriously. There's two I know in Paris, one in Germany. There's another two in Italy, I think. But in the United States, David is it.
That is it. All right, Roger, thank you. Dr. Roger Lear. And, of course, Paula Harris, the investigative reporter in the field of extraterrestrial-related phenomena, she was extremely close with the late Dr. John Mack. So here we go again, Paula. It's
a sad night, yeah. George. You know, it's really hard to talk about this because I saw both Bud Hopkins and John Mack together in Newport in 2004, and I was there on vacation with them at Anne Cavalier's house. And here were two men that had somewhat differing views and had wonderful conversations, loved each other, and really, I have an incredible picture of both of them on the veranda that I think I'm going to post on my website tomorrow, just that I took. And I just really admired the way they could dialogue about this.
Well, I remember how emotional this was for you when Dr. John Mack was hit by a car in England and he died. And this probably equally too for you. You're very close with John Mack.
I met Bud for the first time with Dr. J. Allen Hynek in 1980. He had come to a conference in Chicago, Illinois, and I guess the book Missing Time had come out. Now, we've got to remember that he is a pioneer with the missing time, you know, phenomenon.
Sure.
And that opened doors for me. And I was a nuts and bolts person back then. And I read all of his books, and boy, I realized this was real. And he was the person that opened all the doors. His books were really well written and well documented.
What are we going to do to get people back into this field, this very important field of alien abduction phenomena? What can be done?
The one thing I want to tell you is Leo Sprinkle is still with us, and he will be speaking in Boulder, Colorado on the 30th. Of September in a panel. And on that panel are people that work with John Mack and several other psychologists. And what we're trying to do is open the doors at Naropa Institute and other places that do a lot of spiritual healing and so forth and work with psychologists so that they will take this seriously, because psychologists in general will get this phenomenon. So people like Yvonne Smith, that is, I admire greatly, has spoken at Naropa, and this will open the doors for people to look at this as not a fringe subject, but a subject where people come in and can talk to psychologists, and the pioneers that came before make this real. They make it a viable kind of subject matter that needs to be studied.
Leo Sprinkle's going to be 81 years old in another week.
Yes, he is, and he's a good friend. You know, he lives close because I'm in Colorado. He's in Wyoming. I met him also during the days of Allen Hynek, and Leo is doing quite a bit of work. He did work with the Stan Romanek case and other cases. Leo is really has a wealth of information, and he's really the last one after.
Well, how active is he? Because, you know, he went right over my head. Is he still out there a lot?
Yeah, he's out there a lot. But, you know, he's the type of guy that, you know, goes to the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning and plays basketball at his age. I mean, you have to, if you got a guy that's that active.
That's probably what keeps him around.
Exactly. And I'm amazed what his schedule is. And he has an office. He has an office number. He sees people. So he's still with us, and he will be speaking here in Boulder. And he will be speaking with psychologists, which is the most important thing.
Well, and that's what he is, too, and he's a good one. Well, as you look now at another loss in this incredible field that you have such a passion for, where does this field of ufology go, Paula? When do we get answers?
I don't know. You always ask me these questions, George. I think that slowly but surely we've gotten a lot of answers. And I'm hoping people still read if they have Bud's book,
I think
John Mack's books and so forth. And they start looking at the compiled information and research has been done so far. We've come a long way. These guys were our quarterbacks, okay? They led us down the field. We as a group of researchers just followed. And I think that anybody that, that leads us, you know, towards the goal, and you just asked me what the goal, when the goal, you know, is going to be accomplished, anybody that leads us is worth, you know, looking into and really admiring. These are the pioneers of this.
Oh, they were. They were the Bart Starrs, the Sonny Jurgensens, the home run hitters of their day. And they will never, ever be replaced. Paula, thank you so much for playing this important role in the life of the late Bud Hopkins. I'll be back in a moment with David Wilcock as we talk about 2012 and the Golden Age on Coast to Coast AM.